I don't care a button. I don't care a fig.
I don't care a button. I don't care a fig.
I don't care a button. I don't care a fig.
I don't care a button. I don't care a fig.
Welcome to Buttons and Figs. Buttons and Figs is a podcast for kids about nonsense. I'm your host, Pamela Rogers. Each episode, I'll share a yarn or two, sail about in a sieve, and share kid recordings of nonsense created by listeners like you. So each episode, listen for recording challenges that will turn your head green and your hands blue. So let's get started. On this episode of Buttons and Figs, we're going to sail to Rutabaga Country, to the land of liver and onion. What? You don't like liver and onions? The village of Liver and Onions was created by the American poet Carl Sandburg, who lived from 1878 to 1967. Sandburg was born in a three-room cottage in Galesburg, Illinois. Sandburg was famous for writing poems about Chicago and setting his stories in the heartland of America. Here is a little excerpt from a 1961 LP of Carl Sandburg himself reading the poem, The Abracadabra Boys.
The Abracadabra Boys. The Abracadabra Boys, have they been in the stacks and cloisters? Have they picked up languages for throwing into Chalmaine poems? Have they been to a sea of jargons and brought back jargons? Their salutations go, who cometh, and it is I cometh. They know postures from impostures, pistils from pustules, to hear them tell it. They foregather and make pitty-pat with each other in Latin and in their private pig Latin, very au fait. They give with passwords, who cometh, a cum quat cometh. And how cometh the kumquat? On an abadabba, ancient and honorable sire, ever and ever on an abadabba. Do they have fun? Sure. Their fun is being what they are, like our fun is being what we are. Only they are more sorry for us being what we are than we are for them being what they are.
The Rutabaga stories were, Sandburg wrote, attempts to catch fantasy, accents, pulses, eye flashes, inconceivably rapid and perfect gestures, sudden pantomimic moments, drawls and drolleries, gazings and musings, authoritative poetic instance. Knowing that if the whir of them were caught quickly and simply enough in words, the result would be a child lore, interesting to child and grown up. Right out of the box, Sandburg spells rutabaga differently than the root vegetable, giving a nod and a wink to his intention of playing with our language. We as Americans grow up with the fairy tales of Hans Christian Andersen and the Grimm brothers, but those tales are filled with images from Europe. Castles, kings, queens, royalties, pomp, and circumstance. But Americans turned away from the traditions of where those stories are more rooted, which is why Sandburg set his stories in the Midwest, in Chicago. He searched for the equivalent of elves and gnomes for Americans. Hence, the American fairy tale was born. His tales are set on the farms growing corn and the rivers running wild. In his first story of his collection, Rutabaga Stories, a father named Gimme the Axe decided to let his children pick their own names. He said whatever were the children's first words, those words would be their names. So he ended up with children named Please Give Me and Axe Me No Questions. Before we share a rutabaga story with you, the Buttons and Figs kids came up with some names of their own.
Hi, I'm
here today with Makai and Joaquin.
Hi.
Yeah, and myself is Hannah. So, we came up with a nonsense character for a story of Rutabay. Rutabay? Yeah. He's called a guy, and his species is a gyosaurus.
A tall gyosaurus.
Yes.
Because he has a long neck like a giraffe. He's part unicorn because he has like a unicorn horn. Like,
and he's part beaver because he has a beaver tail. And beaver tails are especially for it flaps up and down and then it pushes you across the water.
And he has elf shoes because his feet don't get cold when he walks in the water.
And he has two stripes on his stomach, and he is a girl, even though his name is Guy.
Oh, wait, why are we saying he or his? It's a her. She, yeah, but her name is Guy. He's basically a mythical creature, but...
No, he's not, Joaquin. How dare you?
But he lives...
He lives in the safari in the desert, the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, and he can go in the ocean as well. He can breathe underwater.
Yeah, he can breathe underwater. Was that a thing that we mentioned? Okay, no. And that's it.
And he can fly.
Dude, he doesn't even have wings. What is wrong?
Hello, I am Stinky Sock. Oh, look who I ran into. I just ran into Squid Face.
Hi, I'm Squid Face. And we are asking a few questions to Guy.
All right, Guy. What is it like in a wet place and a dry place?
I like the dry place better.
Yeah, but why?
What is it like? Because it's nice sand.
Yeah, close to the ocean, right?
Yep.
All right.
Sand and water.
Does he have friends and family?
No, but I do have friends.
Sorry, does she have friends and family?
Not me. Yes.
Yeah. You have friends, but you don't have family.
Yes.
Where do you live?
The beach at North Carolina.
Ooh, cool.
Do you like it where you live? Because it's so hot, and in winter, it's
so cold.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Do you build sandcastles there?
Yes.
Have you ever built an underwater sandcastle?
Yeah.
Do you live on land or underwater?
Both. What do you like to do when you're bored?
Well,
I like usually to go in the ocean because my name is Squid Face.
And I like to go
in a sock bin.
And I like to go to in the dirty laundry, and I can find socks and rub my body against them.
Have you ever met anybody, like, you know what I mean? Made any friends or?
Yes.
Who?
It's hard to keep track.
So, how many friends do you have, like?
Maybe about 62.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Do you like it where you live?
Yes.
Or would you rather live somewhere else?
I'd rather live where I live.
All right. Good. Have you found any treasure chests?
Yes.
How many?
12.
Wow.
Have you ever found any lost shipwrecks or anything like that?
I found about 5 shipwrecks. And I also found Atlantis.
How often do you visit there?
2 days a week.
Oh, wow. What do you do there?
I kind of look at all the smashed buildings and everything.
Would you like to rebuild it one day?
I like how it is.
Yeah, so we can be all ancient and creepy.
Have you ever got attacked by a shark before?
No, because I have a horn. I can stab it.
Then you would make good friends with a narwhal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But then you have to go all the way to the Arctic.
Yeah. Probably. What do you do with your beaver tail?
When it's time for me to go to sleep, I whack it
I whack the sandcastle to knock it all down. And then the next day I make another one. Then the same thing keeps happening over and over again. Oh, and if you want to know what I eat crabs.
Ooh, yeah.
What do you eat on land?
Oh, crabs. Crabs live on the land. Huh. They dig little holes.
Little holes. Little ones.
Okay, bye from Squid Face
and Stinky Sock. Bye, guy.
Bye.
Here's a small excerpt from how they broke away to go to the Rutabaga country. The train ran on and on till it stopped running straight and began running in zigzags, like one letter Z put next to another Z, and the next, and the next. The tracks and the rails and the ties and the spikes under the train all stopped being straight and changed to zigzags, like one letter Z and another letter Z put next after the other. It seems like we go halfway and then back up, said Ask Me No Questions.
Look out the window and see if the pigs have bibs on, said Gimme the Axe. If the pigs are wearing bibs, then this is the Rutabaga country.
And they looked out of the zigzagging windows of the zigzagging cars, and the first pigs they saw had bibs on, and the next pigs they saw all had bibs on. The checker pigs had checker bibs on, the striped pigs had striped bibs on, and the polka dot pigs had polka dot bibs on. Who fixes it for the pigs to have bibs on? Please Gimme asked his father.
The fathers and mothers fix it, answered Gimme the Axe. The checkered pigs have checkered fathers and mothers. The striped pigs have striped fathers and mothers. And the polka dot pigs have polka dot fathers and mothers.
And the train went zigzagging on and on, running on the tracks and the rails and the spikes and the ties, which were all zigzag, like the letter Z and the letter Z. And after a while, the train zigzagged on into the village of Liver and Onions, known as the biggest city in the big, big Rutabaga country. And so if you are going to the Rutabaga country, you will know when you get there, because the railroad tracks change from straight to zigzag. The pigs have bibs on, and it is the fathers and mothers who fix it. And if you start to go to that country, remember first, you must sell everything you have. Pigs, pastures, pepper pickers, pitchforks. Put the spot cash money in a rag bag and go to the railroad station and ask the ticket agent for a long, slick, yellow leather slab ticket with a blue spanch across it. And you mustn't be surprised if the ticket agent wipes sleep from his eyes and asks,
"So far? So early? So soon?"
Yes, all right, yeah.
Well, this kumquat cometh to an end. Hope you enjoyed sailing to the village of Liver and Onions. The kids' character creations in this episode were inspired by Carl Sandburg's many nonsense characters. Thanks to Chloe, Cy, or was it Cy Guy? Hannah, Joaquin, and Makai. And a special thanks on this episode to musician and composer Christian Van Kampen. Make sure to check out his inspiring musical creations. They really take you to far-off lands and magical places. I'll have a link to his work on my Explore page as well. And stay tuned for part two, where we get to meet Stardog and hear more from the fabulous Carl Sandburg. Till next episode, when your head turns green and your hands turn blue, thanks for listening to me and you and you and me. This is Buttons and Figs, a podcast for kids, and I'm your host, Pamela Rogers. Visit your library, make a recording,
and sail in a sieve to buttonsandfigs.com. How pleasant to know you are listening.